JT, live in Vegas.
Sound off like you got a pair. It's hockey, and the Vegas Golden Knights have advanced. They're rolling in the playoffs.
It's a sweep for Vegas.
The Golden Knights are still rolling with momentum in the postseason.
Shot, score!
The San Jose Sharks have been waiting a lot longer than the Vegas Knights to win the Cup.
Backhand on a big stop by Fleury.
With Fleury in goal, you always have a chance to win. Give me a Wild Bill goal, please.
He shoots, he scores! Hat trick, Carlson!
Can you imagine if this team, in their inaugural season, drinks from the cup?
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick. Oh, wow.
Great to have you on Friday, JT, brought to you by Golden Entertainment. You know, those guys and gals and all the great people behind PTs. Sean Patrick, Sierra Gold, now the Stratosphere, all the great locations. And on a hockey night, if you don't got a ticket to the game, if you're not going to the game, stop by at a local PT's. They have all these unbelievable drink specials and Cinco de Mayo specials already going on in progress. You'll have a great time tonight. Meet me at PT's. Big show. We're ready to go. It's hockey night here. We're doing the same thing. Fox Sports Radio is giving away opportunity. We're giving away a couple of chances per show to get into the drawing for a $5,000 outdoor kitchen from Galaxy Outdoor Kitchen. It's a good deal. You call in, you have a hockey call. If it's any good, we'll put you on hold. You'll get a $10 gift certificate, and we will be able to qualify you for an opportunity to win this $5,000 outdoor kitchen, which is really cool living in Vegas, having an outdoor kitchen. This is the place you want it. So if you have something to say on the game tonight, and let me just start off the show by saying you fans have been great to me. We decided, and we know what we're doing here, to go all in on the Vegas Golden Knights months ago in this time slot. This time slot now with the great sponsors, everybody with the Golden Knights jumping on board, providing us guests, players, everything that we've been able to do. I really appreciate it. They came in, they presented me with the jersey, they said, thanks for what you're doing. I said, no, thank you for providing us with this content. Because again, local radio in Vegas is different than national radio. Locally, you do national radio in this town because we're a national town. But when you have something like this really hitting its stride locally, we are all over it, and we'd like to hear from you, the season ticket holders. If you got a ticket, if you don't got a ticket, you should be heading down there and listening to me on the flagship. I believe the pregame starts at 6:30 tonight, and we got a couple of hours here at 876-1340. This is it. Critical game five, as it said in the paper today, and it made a lot of sense. 79% of the time, the winner of this game goes on to win the series. That's a big number. This feels like a game seven more than a game five. And the good news is that the Sharks are playing well, but they're on the road, and this is a Vegas team that plays different at home and a lot faster. I think that if they start fast tonight and they get an early goal on Jones, then they could take a little bit of the pressure and the heat off of them. Maybe we get off to a good start tonight. Yes, we. I'm not a fanboy. I root for the team and I work on the flagship station. You better believe I want this thing to keep going. This is a two-week difference in the economy of the restaurants, the bars, T-Mobile, everybody who works at T-Mobile. I got friends who are ushers, bartenders. These are extra nights. Bobby, who runs the show, gets paid additionally when the Knights continue to play. We are pulling hard. But the Sharks are playing better. I don't think the Sharks are the better team. I just think they're playing better right now in the series. And Gerard Gallant's the type of coach who says forget about the last game when you lose and just focus on this game. I was talking to Frank Harnish as he was leaving to go down to T-Mobile, and possibly a couple of lineup tweaks tonight, maybe a line change, possibly. I think that would be the smart thing to do. I don't think you want to roll out the same lines, the same players that San Jose has been playing well against and are comfortable against, especially coming off a shutout win for San Jose. Problem is, this Vegas Golden Knight team really can't get physical. That's not their team. In years to come, I think they'll have another enforcer, maybe another bigger player that could drop his gloves and fight or protect the rest of this team. But this is not a fighting team. This is a team that wants to skate in open ice and have breakouts, two-on-ones, three-on-twos. They got to get back to that and have an epic game tonight. Any cause for concern, give us a call if you're confident tonight, 876-1340. And the national media is completely following this team. the national media understands this. Great column today by my friend Arash McCarthy from ESPN, their senior writer, and he wrote about the practice facility and what's happening over there across the street from my house where they practice and how big the crowds are there. And it's an unbelievable event to watch this team practice during the week or get a quick skate in before a home game. He wrote a great column at ESPN.com. For James Neal, he's been a leader on this team all year long. He understands the importance of playing in front of these fans.
You work all year for home ice advantage, so this is the times it pays off. I think, obviously we feel comfortable at home. We play well at home, so it's nice to come back here and get a good morning skate in and refocus and come out to a crazy atmosphere tonight and be ready to go.
The place will be crazy. It's always off the hook. It's going to be off the hook. San Jose, it's smart for them to stay in the locker room as long as possible with what happens here in the pregame and how crazy T-Mobile gets. But Neil went on to talk about the discipline that is required if you're going to win tonight.
Discipline's played a key role throughout this series and in winning games. So, I mean, I think as the playoffs go on here, I think you learn from those things, and I expect us to be a focus group, and I don't think we'll let that stuff get in our way.
Yeah, I agree with them. I think this is the fun part about this team is they're really cool and they're calm, and they don't have a lot of emotional guys blowing their top or panicking with the media. When was the last time, if it was the only time, you heard a soundbite from this team? Anything negative, anything. You know, there's a lot of hockey players around this league who get a little bit chippy when they get a microphone in their face coming off a loss. This team has that type of chemistry where they don't do that. Cody Eakin, when you look at the chances that they have going forward, he likes them because they have home ice.
You know, it's best of three now. We got two out of three at home, so we like our chances. We've been playing good hockey and as of today, so it'll come down to all the little things that make a difference in a game.
This is exciting. A Game 5 atmosphere is about as good as it gets for this town that now has hockey in the month of May. So a lot of people are still telling me when I talk to them on and off the air that, hey, we're playing with house money. It doesn't matter what happens. We've come this far. None of that matters. No, this means everything. You do not expect to be back in this spot next year. You would hope that you're in the spot next year. You're here now, 2-2 and a best of 7, best of 3 now with home ice. You got to win this game tonight. It's as close to a must win as I will say in any 5 game going into a 7-game series that I've seen. I've done this a long time with baseball and a 7-game World Series. 7 games in the NBA. Game 5 is critical. This one's more critical to Vegas because it's home. Lose this game, good luck going into San Jose thinking you're going to win up there to force Game 7 here coming up next week. So I'm excited, as you can tell. I hope you're excited. Amber Dixon will join us live at T-Mobile in a few minutes. And we're really excited, too, about the great work that we're getting from the local coverage here, from all the reporters who have been coming on the show and kind of telling us about the atmosphere coming into these games. Mike, thanks for starting us off. Appreciate you calling.
Hey, how are you?
Real good.
Good. On my way into T-Mobile, another playoff game. You know, looking good. If the line changes that they're talking about are good, I think it'll be good tonight. That second line, if he does go with that Perron, Neal, Hollow line, should be effective in putting Tuck down to the third line. Will make that third line faster.
Yeah, I would think, you know, a line change, and you know this because you're there and you go to games, a line change with this particular team is not a big deal because they're strong 1-4. When you're a team like Washington or Pittsburgh or some of these other teams that have been together a long time and you make a line change, it really picks up media attention because these lines have played together for years. Not the case here. You can switch up these lines all the time because, as you know, Mike, the fourth line could be as strong as the second line on any given night. There's no weakness when it comes to the depth of these four lines.
Oh, absolutely, you know, and they, you know, the home crowd's going to do a lot to do with it tonight, and, you know, history shows that over 70% of the winners of Game 5 goes on to win.
Yeah, stay on hold, Mike. Fox Sports Radio is giving you a $5,000 outdoor kitchen chance from Galaxy Outdoor Kitchen and Jesse Ray's Barbecue. You'll have an opportunity in that grand prize drawing. May 12th at Galaxy Outdoor Kitchen. That's at 4425 Dean Martin Drive. You hear people talk about home ice. Home ice to me is not the same in hockey as it is at home court in basketball. Basketball is a little bit different. Hockey, a lot of these hockey players are cool going on the road and playing. but this is a different venue. And San Jose is really tough. I made that point, and we had a couple of guests, including Dan Ruzanowski, the voice of the Sharks, as the series started. San Jose's got great home ice. Those fans are pretty rabid, and they've been jumping all over the Vegas Golden Knights in those games up there. I'm just happy tonight's not an elimination game, and the team was able to go out and at least get a split up there, so this game matters to flip back home ice advantage and give them an opportunity to win. Big game. It feels like a must win. I expect them to show up and win tonight by a score of 4-2. Amber Dixon, kind enough to join us, and we always appreciate getting the local flavor of these games. She was up in San Jose, obviously back in Vegas from News 3 Las Vegas. Amber, thanks a lot for joining us. How's the atmosphere today?
Well, haven't headed down to the T-Mobile Arena just yet, but I imagine it's going to be wild like it is every other game.
It's been incredible this year. You've been traveling with the team a bit. You were up in San Jose. Give me your takeaway from being around the team, especially in the locker room coming off a win, and especially how down they were coming off the loss.
What was strange was the confidence that they had after that first win, and then to see how they came in and played in that second game on the road with no energy, a lack of urgency. It was like maybe too much confidence, and you wondered, what happened to you guys? Did you get too confident, which is possibly what happened after game one when they shut them out 7-0 and then went on to lose their next game.
Amber Dixon's our guest. Gerard Gallant, you've covered him all year long here. He's probably going to win the Jack Adams and be the coach of the year. He doesn't seem to get too high or too low. It's always about the next game, especially coming off a loss. They don't dwell on it for long, huh?
No, that's what he preaches, and his players sure seem to reflect him. They're always talking about moving on to the next game, not focusing on what happened, even if it was a great win, but and staying even keel. They want to not get too high, not too low, and focus, but they need to focus because I think that definitely lacked in this last game. And he expressed that, Gallant expressed that he thinks San Jose played harder and came out with more energy, and he'd like to see more effort from his team tonight.
Amber Dixon will be covering the game tonight, the sports anchor for News 3 LV. And Amber, Marc-Andre Fleury, what have you learned being around him this year, and especially with his emotions? Because he seems to be looser than a lot of the players on this roster, obviously because of those three cup wins.
Yeah, he's got that vibe of, I've been here, I've done this, I know what I'm doing, I'm not going to get too caught up in the highs and lows like we were talking about. And I think he's been so crucial in, he garners so much respect from his teammates that they don't want to let him down. So tonight, I think they probably were a little embarrassed in this last game, needed to be helping him out more, and that's going to fuel them because they hold him in such high regard and love to get him a shutout, but when they don't, you can tell they feel guilty about it. So he garners respect and attention.
Amber Dixon joins us on Fox Sports Radio. Tell us about the atmosphere up there in San Jose. I've been to a few games up there over my career, and it gets loud really quickly, and when they get a lead, those fans really lock in. That's the way it felt in that 4-0 victory.
You sure did. I was impressed with it, and even in the city, just everything surrounding the arena, and then several miles away, all the local bars, all the local restaurants, they're all with shark signs in their windows, and you can tell they love that team, and they were loud. And Marc-Andre Fleury mentioned that he noticed that every time he plays in the SAP Center, he can feel that the Sharks feed off of their fans, so it's always something you got to be aware of.
Amber, I'm excited because this weekend's a big weekend out here, but you and I, we go to a lot of these fights, and there's no Cinco de Mayo fight with Canelo and Triple G. How big of a disappointment is that, but knowing that at least we have a world-class hockey team that's deep in the playoffs?
It is disappointing. I mean, I'm bummed. I'm thinking tomorrow, okay, I'll watch the Derby, and then usually I go to the fight, but nothing to go to. It's disappointing, but at the same time, I don't hear anybody talking about it because all the attention's on the Golden Knights right now. This city has been taken over by that spirit, and that's all they care about right now.
And finally, what's it been like covering this team from a media perspective with the Vegas Golden Knights media and their PR team? I was saying before you came on, they're so cooperative. They've hit the ground running. They're learning on the fly, but they have a lot of experience. Not a lot of people expected this team playing hockey in May, but this organization really seems like they've been there before when you deal with everyone from ownership, you know, Mr. Foley well, down to everyone who's in the press box working the game.
And I think it's funny because toward the beginning we wondered if that was the case when, you know, they were going through the issue with did they get the correct or did they have permission to use the name or was the Army going to come back at them for that? And they had that trademark issue and you wondered if that was the case. But throughout the season they've proven that they are a top-notch franchise. And I know their main PR guy was in Boston working for the Bruins forever. Mm-hmm. So one of these, you know, original teams. You got to be good, and they really staffed this team spectacularly from the top to bottom.
Well, I'll be looking forward to your coverage tonight. It could be a late night of celebration late into that locker room or a team that's got to get on a plane and play for their lives in Game 6 up in San Jose. Amber, always great talking to you. Thanks for making time for me.
Yeah, thank you, JT.
You got it. Amber Dixon, who will be heading to the game shortly, her coverage on News 3 tonight. This is a team that really has brought a lot of media attention. We have all the competing local stations on and all their sports directors and reporters here, and everybody's just having a great time. You see them lined up there right above the ice in the press box, and it's a great opportunity to really understand the sport quickly, especially from a media perspective. You know, Steve Karp's been covering hockey a long time. You get a chance to read him. Ed Graney in the Vegas Review-Journal does an unbelievable job covering this team and getting out on the road. I think the media coverage has been sky high, and you should have saw this building today. It emptied out real quick, Bobby. Emptied out real quick knowing that there's a game tonight. Everybody's kind of splitting to get home or get down to the game or get ready to host a party or get to a viewing party. Speaking of viewing parties, tomorrow, a very special Saturday remote. I'll be at Poncho's in downtown Summerlin for a Raiders remote. It'll be 2 hours of Raiders talk. There's going to be 7 former players there, including Rod Martin, their Super Bowl 11, Jeff Barnes, Frank Hawkins, Napoleon McCallum. Lincoln Kennedy's going to join me on the phone. We have a couple of insiders who cover the team. The Raiders are going to be providing a coach or a player from up in Oakland over the phone. So I wanted to get into this. A Poncho selected me to do this. They said, let's do this right. It's Cinco de Mayo. Let's throw a Raider theme event. They got all the drink specials, the margaritas, the mariachi bands. The food's unbelievable. Place is fantastic. Mr. Lawrence, who owns the same Poncho's in Manhattan Beach, does an unbelievable job and knows how to throw a Raiders party. So I'll be down there tomorrow from noon to 2. It'll be live right here on Fox Sports Radio. And then from 2 to 3, when the show ends, we'll do a live Q&A autograph session with several of the players who are going to be there. Really excited. I usually don't do these Saturday shows, but I couldn't resist doing this on Cinco de Mayo. Really excited. The Derby will be going on also, and even though Triple G's fighting in L.A., it's not going to be the same as Triple G fighting at T-Mobile. Can you imagine that? What that would have been like? Turning that around, the ice rink into the fight, they would have been able to do it, but no, Canelo let us down for a positive result, allegedly for contaminated meat. Underway in Boston, Tampa Bay and Boston. Tampa Bay leads this series 2-1. When we come back, we'll get into some NBA conversation with Steve Fezzik. Also, Fezzik is posting and talking about some of his totals for the NFL. You don't want to miss that. The only 2-time winner of the Super Contest. We'll talk NFL totals with Steve Fezzik when we come back. This is Fox.
Do you feel appreciated by them, and do they have the appropriate gratitude for what you have achieved?
I plead the fifth. Look, man, that is a tough question. Yeah, I mean,
your wife seems to indicate. Yeah.
I think everybody in general wants to be appreciated more at work.
Tom Brady with Jim Gray. Not too many hardcore questions there, but Tom Brady clearly is not feeling the same way about Bill Belichick as he had in the past. Welcome back, JT, with you. The only 2-time winner of the Super Contest. And now with pregame, get all of his picks at pregame.com and at Fezzik Sports, where he is tweeting out some of his ideas in regards to win totals coming up here. Fez, do you usually wait around till after the draft? Does the draft have any impact and free agency on your win totals?
The draft will have a critical impact. However, I don't know what impact it will be because I don't know who's going to pan out and who isn't. So typically I make, at best, very, very minor adjustments to my power ratings based upon the initial draft.
Let's start off with New England and what you think of this team and the players that they've left behind over the last couple of years and how they're able to reload. We're pretty confident they're going to win the division, they're going to get a home bye week, and they're going to play home games in the playoffs. That's why that number is always between 10.5 to 11.5. Talk about New England and some of the concerns with this team this year.
Yeah, I'm very concerned that even with the daily dosages of kale for Brady at 41, I just don't think he can maintain that level. But I very much like that they didn't draft a quarterback early, fulfilled needs on the offense, getting the running back out of Georgia, getting the linemen out of Georgia. So the division's so weak. JT, how weak is it? Even with New England in that division, it's the weakest division in football. So imagine how easy New England's divisional schedule is, not having to play themselves. You're absolutely right. They're probably not the best team in the NFL, but they're favored to win the most games.
Tell us why you like Miami, as you tweeted out earlier today.
It's one of my favorite angles where a team has a down year and you can largely attributed to bad quarterback play. I think Surly Jay Cutler, lots of talent, no doubt, but he hasn't won anywhere. And the Dolphins won 10 games 2 years ago. They always win six. And then Tannehill goes down. He was having a great year. I think it's a huge upgrade getting Tannehill back this year. Good coach in Gase. I expect him to go back to being close to a 500 team. Absolutely, we're going over six wins.
Steve Fezzik joins us on Fox Sports Radio. I'm bullish on the Giants this year because it couldn't get any worse last year. The benching of Eli Manning, the hiring of Pat Shurmur, what they were able to do, bringing in Barkley, the running back, who I thought was the best player in the draft, and I think they'll give him the ball a tremendous amount of times and he'll catch it out of the backfield. I just don't know how great he's going to be as a rookie, and I would expect Eli to have a big chip on his shoulder coming off the benching last year.
Yeah, the one team I did upgrade is the Giants. I was worried they'd take a quarterback. Love short-term that they took the running back and Barkley. Running backs have the biggest impact initially because it's you can plug them on in and they can play as opposed to quarterbacks. Rookie quarterbacks can hurt your team in the first year, certainly the first half of the first year. I think the Giants will have a bounce-back year. They won 11 games the year before last, and then, of course, all the injuries with the wide receivers and the bad O-line. And I also bet the Giants week one plus 4.5 hosting Jacksonville.
Do you traditionally fade the Super Bowl winner and possibly not New England? You mentioned how easy their division is, but the Eagles with a 10.5 win total, considering what they went through last year, we don't know how Carson Wentz is going to look coming off the injury, and a lot of teams know they're coming this year. They're not going to sneak up on anyone.
Yeah, you know, I'd rather fade the Super Bowl loser than the winner with the emotional hangover. You know, I'm an analytics guy, and I love all the decision-making, the game management that Peterson and company do for the Eagles. I just can't step in front of them. I think they're going to have another fine year.
Let's move on with Steve Fezzik. Follow him at Fezzik Sports, the only two-time winner of the Super Contest. Let's go to the AFC West, where a lot of the people I've been interviewing before and after the draft are really high on the Chargers. Win total 9 here in the AFC West. That defense is loaded. But Phillip Rivers, I think he's the X factor. What type of year does he have?
Yeah, you know, I really like the Chargers as well. All the stats and the analytics support it. They lost some games because they didn't have a kicker and they had a rookie head coach. But, JT, they got a home game in London. I don't frankly know if they have any home games, playing 7 games in L.A. in the soccer stadium at StubHub. That's a big negative. I'm going to pass.
Yeah, I just thought that StubHub would be a great home field advantage. I went there last year, and it wasn't a good test because I went to the Raider game, and there were more Raider fans than there were Charger fans. But, you know, after the way this team performed last year, I would think that more Charger fans would like to fill those seats there, but I think it's a real challenge. That moves to the Raiders and John Gruden. And with Derek Johnson and all the aging players that they are bringing in there, I sense that Gruden wants to win now, because if he didn't want to win now and he felt like he has 2 years before he gets to Vegas, we'd see more younger players coming in here and not throwing that much money of that cap towards aging players. How do you see the Raiders coming into this year? I think the total's 8.
Yes, and I played under 8.5 at the opener. It is down to 8. I am very worried about Gruden. Maybe he's fooling me with all his talk about he wants to go back to old school football and he doesn't like the modern analytics and everything else. That's what I want to hear as a professional bettor. Let's wait and see how he coaches and how the first couple games go.
Are the Bills down to 6.5 in your mind because of the loss of Tyrod Taylor and the experiment of what they're going to do at quarterback coming into this year?
Yeah, so they certainly, with A.J. McCarron and then possibly being replaced with a rookie, unproven quarterback, a big negative. And frankly, the pros didn't like the Bills last year at all. They had the underlying stats of a 7-9 team. We don't care that they made the playoffs. And if they were should have been a 7-9 team last year, maybe they regressed to 6-10. Being much weaker at quarterback.
Steve Fezzik joins us as we wrap it up. The Jaguars also one of those London home games. They like being in London there. That total is 9, but they still have Blake Bortles at quarterback. I love that defensive roster. Is that a fair number in your mind, 9?
I think it is a good number at 9. I would play over an 8.5. All the pros love to take a team that jumped huge in their wins and play them to regress the next year. But I think that Jacksonville is going to be established as a good team going forward. And they're the one team, frankly, that doesn't mind having a home game at Jacksonville. I would give them every bit as big a home field advantage in Jacksonville in London than I would give them in their home stadium in Jacksonville.
And one more team that I thought was great last year in the playoffs, but they got beat on a fluke play, the New Orleans Saints. 9.5 is the number. Again, they were one play from going to the NFC Championship game where I think they could have advanced to the Super Bowl. What do you think of New Orleans this year?
Yeah, I love both their running backs. Their defense improving, love the coaching. It comes down to, does Drew Brees, he's getting closer to 40 now, I think he's 38, is he going to regress? He's had, unlike Brady, he looks like he's going to age, and if it hasn't happened yet, it might happen this year. That's my only concern.
6-0 NBA run. Your NBA game of the month goes tonight. Tell everybody how they can get it.
Yeah, absolutely. Go on over to pregame.com and just load up the pregame pros. I'm one of the guys over there. Love the card tonight.
I'm assuming that part of that 6-0 run was LeBron. I mean, it felt like free money. Everybody knew going in that LeBron owns Toronto. He plays great. Toronto's a head case. And still, Toronto being such a heavy favorite in game two, it seems like someone got upgraded to the suite, the top suite at a casino last night.
You know, I actually lucked out with that series so far because I had a favorable opinion of Toronto. I was all ready to lay 5 with Toronto games 1 and 2, and then the line came out 7, and I'm like, well, don't want Toronto at that price. We'll see if the Sharps go ahead and bail off this Toronto train that has not worked in the playoffs any year.
Thank you, Steve. Have a great weekend. Stay hot.
You too.
Steve Fezzik at pregame.com. Give him a follow again as he talked about his 6-0 NBA run, and his game of the month goes tonight at pregame.com. When the Super Bowl odds came out, I wasn't shocked about the Patriots, but think about the drama that we've seen from the Patriots in the last couple months, right? Was Gronkowski going to play or not, right? What is Tom Brady going to do? And we're sitting here wondering what's going to happen. And I want to get to Forrest Griffin, who's going to join us here in a moment. I want to come back and get to him because he's getting into the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. Big name going in. I want to make sure we have time to get him ready to go coming up on the other side. But we'll talk more about those Super Bowl odds next week and how the Patriots are such a heavy favorite. Coming up next, Forrest Griffin will join us as one of the great names in the history of mixed martial arts and now the accomplishment getting inducted into the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. What that means for this community, what it means for him, and you, the fans who have followed him and been loyal. He'll join us next. Fox Sports Radio, the home of the Vegas Golden Knights.
It's over now. I mean, we're disappointed. We got to play better, but you know what? We're still in good position. We got the best 2 out of 3 starting with them Friday night again, and we got a home game Friday night, so I'm sure we'll be fired up and ready to go Friday night.
Well, he'll have them fired up. Gerard Gallant gets them going on game night, and tonight is game night. Keep it right here on the flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Radio. Forrest Griffin is kind enough to join us, and we greatly appreciate it as he's in that epic class coming up in the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. Forrest, thanks for the time, and congratulations on the honor. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this is a big deal. Before we get to the Hall of Fame honor, I wanted to start off with your early years in Georgia and the journey through the University of Georgia with your education and your upbringing. It seemed like you took your education seriously early. Tell us about those early years.
I don't know how serious I took my education. I just kind of felt like, if you don't really know what to do in life, you should start by going to college. I knew I wanted to do, at the time, I wanted to do federal law enforcement, and I figured you needed a master's degree to get into that, so I was going to try for that. Then it turned out school was pretty hard, so I thought, maybe I'll just be a beat cop and get that undergrad degree there.
And I thought that was a smart move for you, obviously, and the background here in law enforcement. And I want to get to that later on, too, in this interview, but your respect for that industry. You know, I'm in sports talk radio. We talk about athletes from time to time getting in trouble or individuals not respecting law enforcement. It seemed like that was part of your DNA at an early age.
Well, yeah. I mean, I tell you, I got into the law enforcement for the right reasons. You know, I genuinely wanted to help people. And I thought the best way I could do that was to go around for 8 or 12 hours a day, basically, and to get paid to be a good Samaritan, you know, to help people when they're broken down on the side of the road, to help people by taking other bad people off the street, to do reports when people get robbed, to take people to hospital when necessary, you know, to be the first person to arrive when somebody's in a bad way, like having one of the worst days of their lives. That's a very important thing, and that was a very cool part of being law enforcement, but I only did it for about 3 years total. And what I'll tell you is my friends that still do it, you know, being that first guy to arrive, first guy or gal to arrive in a bad situation does wear on you.
MMA legend Forrest Griffin is our guest, getting inducted into the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. How tough were those early years when you trained at the Hardcore Gym in Athens, and what was your main motivation in those early years before you became an MMA star?
So, it was actually really tough because I was working full-time in school part-time and then trying to, you know, become a professional fighter. My goal was always to, you know, be in law enforcement. I just figured I could put that off for 5 or 6 years and make, you know, the same money I'd make, you know, working as a police officer, being a professional athlete, you know, being a professional fighter. And, that way I'd at least be able to follow my dream.
Interesting to me at those early stages in your career, how difficult was the training and how did you come up with your style that you would use as a professional? Who was your mentor who told you you should go down this road and become this type of fighter?
Well, I mean, it was Adam and Roy Singer at the Hardcore Gym, but kind of what I did was I watched a lot of fights, which helps. And I saw Big Nogueira, you know, Big Nog, and I was like, man, you know, he has a similar skill set to me. That's kind of how I want to pattern myself after. You know, Big Nog in the UFC Hall of Fame, one of the best fighters of all time, kind of one of the people I tried to pattern myself after.
When you look back at your career and Spike TV's The Ultimate Fighter, can you walk us through your relationship with Dana White and that reality show? And how, when a door opens in life, I believe in fate, Forrest, and if that opportunity doesn't come about, if it's not the perfect time, if that TV show doesn't hit, are we having this conversation today?
No, and you think, I was a last-minute replacement to be on season one of The Ultimate Fighter. I'd never seen a reality show. I'd, for all intents and purposes, given up on making it to the UFC, and I just wanted to fight for a couple hundred bucks locally at heavyweight just to, you know, have something fun to train for. So I had to quit my job and kind of, leave all my stuff in storage to go do the show. I only had 17 days to figure out if I wanted to do it or not.
Did you have trust in Dana White at that stage of your young career?
So, you know, Dana gave me a great piece of advice. But in the end, it was kind of my stepdad telling me, worst case scenario, you go to Vegas for a couple months and come back with some great stories, you know? And then, you know, I kind of elucidated on it in my book a little bit. In life, you would rather regret the choices you made than the choices you did make, you know? Imagine if I don't get on that plane, I don't come out to Vegas. I would have always watched MMA for the rest of my life and thought, man, I could have done that, you know?
Yeah, I love this story, you know, doing the background for this and to see, you know, your history and your fate and how you made these tough decisions in life. And as we started with the University of Georgia and the law enforcement and the decisions you had to make, you really had someone guiding you, looking over your shoulder and kind of pointing you in the right directions. And then when you make your rise in this sport, is it fair to say early in your career you wanted to fight often and you would take on all comers? How aggressive were you when you were putting together your schedule every year?
So, it's hard to say. There only used to be 12 UFCs a year, so you kind of had to pick and choose your battles and get in when you could. You know, we have 41 or 42 events a year now. So, you know, you used to, I mean, fighting used to be a little harder to get fights than it is for guys nowadays.
Are you there, Forrest?
Yeah, I'm here. I was just thinking about the second part of that question. You know, when, you know, the sport will kind of age you, too. I wanted to fight as much as I could, as often as I could when I was young. But at some point, I did start to feel the pressure. And it was more important at some point in the middle of my career when I realized I was pretty good at this and I had an opportunity. In the beginning, it was really just fun. I mean, you can tell I'm just walking out to the octagon thinking, that's kind of fun, right?
Absolutely.
I got nothing better to do on a Saturday night. That's really a great mentality if you can kind of keep that one.
Wrapping it up with Forrest Griffin getting inducted into the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. What's the fight that most of the fans come up to you and want to talk to you about as your legacy fight?
Oh, I mean, it's ironically my first fight with Stephen Bonner. You know, that was what made me and him, and that's one of the that happened here in Vegas. And you know, it's very cool that I'm getting in the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame because, you know, I came out here in 2004, like a lot of people that immigrate to Vegas, to find my fame and fortune, you know, and I did. So I definitely, you know, a lot of the best fights, a lot of the best things in my life happened in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it seems like this is the perfect fit for you, your home now, and how much you love this city, and how important is this accomplishment to your family and to the people that helped you get to this point in your life? I'm sure you'll be recognizing them in your induction speech.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge, I think, for me personally, just as a means to, hey, man, I've really, you know, been accepted by, you know, local Nevadans, you know, but by those few of you that were actually born in Las Vegas.
Tell us about the Golden Knights. You got to be watching this from a distance. You go to games. What do you think of this hockey team deep in the playoffs?
Yeah, I have gotten to go to their first ever playoff game, actually. I've been lucky. Man, I'm so impressed with the people of Las Vegas getting out and supporting them. I did not know I was a hockey fan until this year. It turns out I'm a big hockey fan. And more than that, my six-year-old daughter's a hockey fan. So she'll be watching as well.
Outstanding. This is a great class that you're going in with. The opportunities I've had through the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame with all the great guests that I get to interview. And I know this is going to be a great day for you, your daughter, your family. Thanks for making some time for us, and congratulations on such a high honor.
Oh, thank you so much, man. It's a pleasure.
You got it. Forrest Griffin getting in with this great class coming up here with the Las Vegas Thunder. We've gone through the whole list. We still have a couple of more individuals to talk to here coming up, but this is a great event. And if you have an opportunity to go, we'll be tweeting out all the information for tickets and the dates and how to get in there. And I'm happy we're able to have a nice long conversation with Forrest, who's a humble guy and clearly followed his fate in life. He didn't have to do this. When he got his undergrad at the University of Georgia and he was looking at law enforcement, gets this opportunity. He's obviously a fighter, a wrestler. He takes that shot, and then the next thing you know, he trusts Dana White. He goes on that reality show for the first big fight they've ever had, and it defines his life. Now he's a multimillionaire. He built a brand all because he took an opportunity and went through and kicked that door down and didn't regret coming out to Vegas for that show. That decision, and that decision, which he mentioned in the interview, is the reason why he's getting inducted into the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. Really excited. We got a chance to talk to him. When we come back, we'll reset Tiger Woods today. I played 18 holes today. Not as good as Tiger, but Tiger's supposed to be a lot better than me. Tiger barely makes the cut. What does that mean? And LeBron owns Toronto. We'll take a look at the NBA schedule coming up tonight. And remember, join me tomorrow at Poncho's in downtown Summerlin from noon to 2 for our Raiders remote. It's going to be a big one.
Shot clock all the way down to 3. LeBron at the left point. Spins on Ananobi. Fadeaway long 2.
Oh, he knocks that down. 43 for LeBron. He's 19 of 27 from the field. Cavaliers 116. Raptors 98.
Yeah, that was LeBron. He was amazing again. JT back with you on the flagship of your Vegas Golden Knights. They play tonight. Thanks to Forrest Griffin, who joined us, the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. The induction ceremony, the class of 2018, will be honored coming up here. Great class Friday, May 11th, 6 p.m. at the Orleans. And we'll be talking about this over the next week. Go to snshf.com. That's Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame.com. Check out all their social media and try to get to it. If you haven't been to it, jump in on a table with your buddies and friends and go see it. Rub elbows with all these celebrities, all these impact players in this community, and for great charity causes. It's an unbelievable event. If you haven't been to it, those who go continue to go back every year. That is coming up here Friday, May 11th. So LeBron was amazing again, and we're wondering why he's playing at such a high level at this stage in his career. Well, in the playoffs, he plays against inferior teams. Let's stop there for a second. He's in the Eastern Conference. If he's in the Western Conference, he's playing tougher teams. He took the easy road out and stayed in the East. Smart thing to do. And now they're playing the likes of Toronto, and Toronto can't compete with Cleveland. Toronto just can't beat this team. LeBron's in their head.
The Cleveland Cavaliers are coming back to Northeast Ohio with a 2-0 series lead as the Cavaliers knock off the Raptors by the final of 128-110. Another virtuoso performance by LeBron James.
That's the play-by-play voice, John Michael. He will join me in an hour. He's going to join us, the voice of the Cavaliers, I believe 6:15, coming up here, so stick around for that. So LeBron comfortably wins. He's up 2 games to none. I don't see how Toronto gets off the mat and comes back and wins a game. I don't know how they're going to win in Cleveland if they can't win in Toronto. And that means we'll be talking about some type of scenario where LeBron will be getting extended rest going into the series against Boston or the Sixers. Boston looks to be in the head of this young Philadelphia team. They were exceptional in that comeback win last night.
Redick gets open in the corner for 3, and he misses it. Rebound Rozier. Celtics have numbers. Rozier running with Tatum. Lobs in the air. And Tatum throws it down.
Oh, my. J.J. Redick missed the easiest shot he could make. And the Celtics run back and get 2 more.
Celtics radio on the call. It's very easy so far for the Celtics. Ben Simmons only had 1 point in that game. They were out-coached. They were out-played. Other than Joel Embiid, no one really stepped up for that team. So they're in a tough spot. I don't believe in Philadelphia, and I don't believe in the process. The process is cheating, and it's the ability to tank. So everybody wants to get on this Philadelphia bandwagon and say how much they love these young players. By doing that, if you're not a Philly fan, because Philly fans should root for their teams, but I don't know why anybody else would reward that team and root for them after they quit the last 5 or 6 seasons and lost on purpose. This is one of the craziest things that bother me more than anything in sports, is how Philadelphia is respected around the league now for tanking and losing games to get Markelle Fultz and Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. If you're going to lose for 5 years in a row, you should be good in year 6 or 7, and that's what Philadelphia is doing. Big game tonight. Going to get underway at the top of the hour. Warriors are in New Orleans taking on the Pelicans during Jazz Fest. So this is a party in New Orleans now. And as Looney will tell you coming up here at the top of the hour, the only hope for the Pelicans is if the Warriors got there 2 nights ago and have been drunk the entire time. Because the Warriors are a much better team. They should win this game. And I expect the Warriors as a road favorite to close out and sweep the Pelicans. And then the night game is a heavyweight fight. The Rockets and the Jazz, This is really good. Jazz have evened the series. Now they have home court advantage. The Rockets come in after an awful performance. I expect James Harden to go off tonight for at least 40 points if he's able to do that. The Jazz need to take control of their home court. The league wants to see the Warriors and the Rockets. So I always break out the refs in a wink, wink. Watch the refs in Utah, because there's no way they're not going to give the Rockets an opportunity to win. And finally, I wanted to wrap up the week with Jason Witten. I thought that would be a good way to do it. One of the best character guys in the modern history of the NFL, as he goes over as a broadcaster to Monday Night Football, but announced his retirement.
After much self-reflection, prayer, and faith, today I've decided that the time has come for me to pass the torch to the next generation of Dallas Cowboys and retire from the National Football League.
This is one hell of a player and a respected player throughout the Cowboy organization and the community, a highly emotional event.
To all the Dallas Cowboys fans around the world, for 15 years I tried to represent you the right way, bring you joy, and win you a championship. And while I leave today falling short of that mark, I hope that along the way, I made you proud to be a Dallas Cowboys fan.
It made me feel good to play that getting out here for the week, because that's the type of player we should be celebrating. We should be talking about players like Jason Witten, who never got in trouble off the field, always did the right thing. Should have won more. I mean, Dallas, he was part of that Dallas drought. Hey, thanks to a great week from Golden Gaming, and they're ready for Cinco de Mayo. Their specials are running now. All the taverns are running $3, $4, $5 specials right now on the 4th and 5th. $3 Dos Equis bottles, $4 tacos, and those great $5 Patron margaritas. Golden Entertainment, the home of PT, Sierra Gold, Sean Patrick's, and the great Stratosphere. I'll see you back tomorrow. It's a 6-day week. We'll be at a great location, Poncho's in downtown Summerlin, from 12 to noon. And then Monday, I'm off. I'll be the MC of the Fred Biletnikoff Hall of Fame Golf Tournament in the Bay Area. Back on Tuesday. Hopefully not a game 7. Hopefully this is over. Go, Knights, go. Get this game tonight, will ya?